you so much. Today we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 17. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Let us all stand in reverence of the word of God. We are continuing in spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. We're going to be looking at that today, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let us pray, everybody. Dear God, I just give you thanks once again for this just wonderful opportunity, Lord, that you give us to be able to preach your word, to share your word. Thank you, Lord, because we have your word. And it brings us joy to be able to read from it and have you speak to us from it. And Lord, that's what I ask today, that you speak to us, to our lives, to our hearts, through your word. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, if you just go up a few verses in your Bible. That verse catches my attention. It says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We've been looking at the armor of God, and we've been seeing that as Christians, we have the power. We have the power. And there have been times that I've mentioned here that it reminds me of the comic book superheroes. Remember that? Remember I mentioned Iron Man and how he puts on his suit and all of a sudden his suit lights up. There's like, You see that? Have you seen that? Again, how many have seen comic book superheroes? You can see right there. He's happy about it. Over there. Yeah. So I have to admit that I do too. Sorry. But I've said that, you know, I think that a lot of the ideas from these Hollywood, you know, comic book superheroes come from the Word of God. Because here the Apostle Paul, who's, you know, he talks to the Ephesians church and he says that you have to put on the armor of God so that you can activate the power of God in you. So this is so important. So it catches my attention when the Apostle Paul is talking to the Ephesian church and he's telling them, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And he's talking to us today as well. Because in order for us to walk the Christian walk, we're going to need God's power. In order for us to have the fullness of the Spirit and to have the renewed mind, we're going to need God's power. In order for you to speak the truth of the gospel and to be one in the body of Christ, we are going to need God's power. All these things require the strength of the Lord. You are not going to be able to live a life that honors God without having that strength from up above. Yesterday, I was sharing with the pantry team that it's a privilege to serve the Lord, and it is a privilege to live for Him. Amen? So in this letter, Paul commands us to put on the armor of God. And he uses this certain imagery. And there's no doubt that the Apostle Paul is looking at a Roman soldier. He's looking at the armor of a Roman soldier. We know that the Apostle Paul was in prison a couple of times. And we believe that he could have
possibly been chained to a Roman soldier. So if there's someone who really knows what a Roman soldier looks like, it's the Apostle Paul.
During Paul's time, Rome ruled the world. And there were thousands and thousands of Roman soldiers in the Middle East and throughout Europe.
So Paul sees this armor on these Roman soldiers. And the Roman soldiers were very well protected. So the Apostle Paul is also saying here that the Christian soldier should also be very well protected. In these verses, the Apostle Paul reveals to us that we have a very dangerous enemy. His name is the devil. He is the enemy of our soul. He is the reason for the evil in this world. He is the reason for the sin in this world. He is the father of lies. And the Bible gives us so many warnings against this enemy. For instance, the Bible says that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. The Bible describes him as a thief who comes to kill and to destroy. Currently today, the devil is the one that deceives the nations with ideologies that are totally against the Word of God. And the reason it's so dangerous is because these ideologies seem like they're okay. But when you dig deep and you start looking at them, you start seeing the evil inside these ideologies. So we have to be careful. Because if not careful, the devil, the Bible says, is like a roaring lion who will devour us. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says that this enemy is going to try to prevent you from living the way that God wants you to live. But there's good news. There's good news. James chapter 4, verse 7 says this, that we are to resist the devil and he will flee from us. But by the same token, Ephesians 4, 27 says that we are not to give opportunity to the devil. In Spanish, no hay que darle lugar al diablo. But Paul is very specific in saying that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities, against spiritual forces of evil, he says. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never personally fought a demon. Anybody here? No? I mean, I've never, except for Andrew. I mean, I've never personally fought a demon. In fact, I've never even seen a demon. But I'll tell you this, that we've all been tempted. I'll tell you this, we've all sinned. So there's what I call a personal struggle. And the tendency is to want to sin. And the Apostle Paul is very clear to us when he says that in Romans chapter 7. He says, the things that I want to do that are good, those are the things that I won't do. But the bad things that I shouldn't be doing, those are the things that I do. And that's the Apostle Paul. Where do we stand? So the tendency is to want to sin. The tendency is to have the desires to do the things of this world. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, and it's so important, he says that's the reason why we have to suit up. We have to put on the armor of God. We have to put on the belt of truthfulness, which means that we are to be ready for anything that the devil comes at us with. We are to have the breastplate of righteousness, which means personal holiness, which means that we are to be living a life of holiness. I know that could be bad for a lot of people. Matter of fact, that's not preached too much these days. To live a life of holiness, Pastor, what does that mean? Then he says that you're supposed to be fitted with the right shoes. Roman soldiers, they had shoes specially made for them. They were shoes that allowed them to be firm, to be anchored on the ground, so that they didn't slip and slide. A Christian soldier is supposed to be anchored as well, confident that God is his or her protector. Our responsibility as a Christian soldier is to deliver the gospel of peace. Especially in a world where there is no peace. Then the Apostle Paul says that we are supposed to have the shield of faith. The shield of faith is what protects us from the fiery arrows of the devil. So what does that do for us? The shield of faith is what protects our belief in God. The shield of faith is what protects your faith in believing the word of God. Because one of the things that the devil wants you to do is to doubt. Doubt that God has the power to be able to solve your problems. To doubt the word of God. So then there's the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is what gives you the assurance of salvation. The helmet of salvation is what assures you of your eternity with Christ in heaven. And I explained these last couple of weeks that one of the problems that we have as Christians is that when we fail God, we believe that we've lost our salvation. Or we believe that we no longer have eternal life with Christ. But the helmet of salvation assures you that you are a permanent citizen of the kingdom of God. That's what that assures you. Amen. So today we get to the sword of the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul is saying that that is the word of God. Church, I want to tell you today that we are to be thankful for this book right here. The word of God. Amen. Praise God for this. For his word. Amen. Today I'm going to start this. It's going to be like a mini series within the series. But there's so much to say about the word of God, so I'm not going to try to, you know, preach it all in one message. I'm going to split it out into probably three weeks. Again, there's so much to say about the word of God. Again, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And all you need to do is pick it up and use it. That's all. You know, it reminds me of a couple that invited a pastor to their home. And, you know, the wife gave the pastor, you know, the best silverware she had, and there was a special spoon that she had that was dear to her. And, you know, because of the pastor, you know, she served them with that special spoon and all that. So when the pastor left, the wife realized that the spoon was missing. And she looked for it, and she realized that the only person the last person that used that spoon was the pastor. So weeks went by, months went by, almost a year. And I mean, it started eating at her. And she told her husband, you know something? I believe the pastor took my spoon. And the husband, come on now. Are you going to say that the man of God took your spoon? So, and she said, you know, she just didn't know what to think, but she was really thinking in her heart that the pastor took her spoon. So one day, she just, you know, just popped the question. Said, Pastor, I have to ask you this question.
And the last time that you were at the house about a year ago, you know, I served you with a special spoon. And the spoon is missing, and you were the last one that used it. By any chance, did you take that spoon? And the pastor started, like, laughing. And he said, no, sister, I didn't take your spoon. Come on, he says. But this is what I did do. I did leave it stuck in the middle of your Bible. So all you need to do with the sword of the Spirit is to pick it up and use the word of God. And you know something? It's not because you own one. Again, just like the wife. Because it's because you need to know what it really says. You need to know what God is saying here. You need to know what God is saying to you. Because every time you open up the Word of God, God is speaking to you personally. The Bible is a weapon that we can trust. The Word of God is accurate. The Word of God is clear. The Word of God is without error. So as Christians, we must be willing to use it. Now listen to what Psalm 19:7 says. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. And it's talking about the Word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect. It's refreshing to the soul. Because the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says this. Every word of God proves true. And then Psalm 12, 6 says that the words of the Lord are pure words. So therefore, the word of God is perfect, it's without error, it's pure, and it's true. Amen. But also it's complete. I say that because you can't add to it or take away. It is precisely what God wanted to say. And we see that in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. It says, hear me, you heavens, listen, earth, for the Lord has spoken. And again, there's so much to say about the word of God. It is infallible. In other words, it does not fail. It's inerrant, no error. It's complete, and it has authority. In essence, we don't need anything else. It is sufficient for our salvation. This is what the Apostle Paul taught Timothy, his spiritual son. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And he says, all scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching. It's useful for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So the word of God is also sufficient. It is sufficient to achieve all divine ends in our soul. It is sufficient to accomplish all of God's purposes in you, in God's people. So, the word of God is effective. Isaiah 55:11 says that the word of God will not return to me void or empty. Again, the word of God will accomplish God's purpose in your life. So the word of God is powerful. It is a powerful weapon to use. There is no other book on the face of this earth like the Word of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? There is no other book like this book on the face of this earth. Amen. Amen. So as Christians, it is the only weapon we need. The Word of God. Now get this, the Old Testament writers referred to what they wrote 3,800 times. And then the New Testament writers referred to the Old Testament writers 320 times.
So this gives you an idea that the Word of God does not contradict itself. The writers never contradicted themselves. And more to follow on that in the next couple of weeks. So that is why the Word of God is impactful. Now, the Word of God is the source of many things, and I just want to share with you three today. Again, more to follow here in the next couple of weeks. So the first one is this. The Word of God is the source of truth. You might want to make mental note of these things, or you might want to write them down somewhere. The Word of God is the source of truth. The Word of God brings people to the knowledge of truth. And John 17:17 says this, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. John 17:17. Because it is the truth that penetrates deeply into our lives. It is the truth that penetrates deeply into all that we are. And I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are in society. The truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ penetrates deeply into all of our lives. The Hebrew author said it best, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. He said, for the word of God is alive and it's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That is the power of the word of God. So the word of God is the source of truth. But also the Word of God is the source of our joy. It's the source of our joy. Proverbs 8:34 says this, happy is the man that hears me. And Luke 11:28 says this, he replied, blessed, in other words, happy are those who hear the Word of God and obey it. But there's a story in the Old Testament that comes to mind in regards to the joy of listening to or reading the Word of God, and that's found in Ezra. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. Ezra was a high priest back in the Old Testament. Listen to what Ezra 7:10 says. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord, in other words, to the word of God, and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. So let me just give you a little bit of context of what's going on here with this high priest. Jerusalem had been invaded by the Babylonians and the Persians. Ezra had been taken captive. But at one point, he was allowed to go back to Jerusalem. So let me tell you what's going back in Jerusalem, what was happening there. The people in Jerusalem had lost all their faith. It was so bad, it was so, so bad that the people in Jerusalem, God's people, were now worshiping other pagan gods. That's what Ezra saw when he came back. So the people were in sin. So one of the first things that Ezra does, he starts reading to the people the Word of God. Now I want you to hear the effect that the Word of God had on the people of Israel when he went back. Now I'm reading from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9. It says, then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest, and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to them all, he says, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. In other words, as they were listening to the word of God, they started mourning, they started weeping, they started crying as they heard the word of God. For all the people, it says, had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. So let me tell you what was happening. The people in Jerusalem who were in sin, they started listening to the word of God. And they started to weep and cry because the word of God started to have an effect in their hearts. And they realized their sin. And as they heard the word of God, it brought them to the hope of salvation. And that hope of salvation is what brought back that joy in their lives. Because let me tell you something, church. I mean, we all sin. All of us. Everyone, every single one here in this room have sinned before God. We fail God. And we feel terrible about it. But when that happens to me and I start reading from the Word of God, I start reading. Romans 8:1 says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I start reading things like that. And I too start weeping before the Lord and crying before the Lord and repenting before the Lord. And you know what God does? He forgives me. Just like he forgives you. And all of a sudden, God turns my mourning into dancing. Literally, I start dancing. I feel that weight lifted, and I feel the joy, and I start, man, and people don't know what's going on, and they see a big smile on my face, and I'm, you know, doing my thing, I'm dancing, you know, all that kind of stuff, because I have the joy of the Lord in my life, because he's returned that joy in my life. That's what the Word of God does. It brings back the joy. But thirdly, and I think most importantly, the Word of God is the source of growth. Listen to what 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milks so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. In order for you to grow spiritually, you must be in the Word. Can I confess something to you? It's got to stay here, though. Charlie, stop recording. No, I'm only kidding. I'll confess something to you. I get nervous and probably anxious and fearful when I don't see the brothers and sisters coming to church, coming to Bible study. It just doesn't give me that sense of security, or better yet, maybe it gives me a false sense of security, because you might be hopefully doing it, studying it at home and in the Word. But when we're together, the Bible talks and says that we are to be together, especially in the reading of the Word. And it makes me nervous, this whole pandemic thing of people not coming to church and gathering with God's people. It has made me nervous. Please pray for me. Because it is so important, just like Ezra, when he went back and he saw the state of the people, he saw that they were all in sin. They were all worshiping pagan gods. And basically, he established order, and the way he did it, he simply just read from the Word to the people, and he explained to them what the Word of God says. And that brought the joy back. That's why the assembly of his people is so important. Again, Bible studies, Sundays. Because every time the Word is opened, it's an opportunity of spiritual growth for you. And there's so much value in that. Yesterday I was talking to the parents of the kids that graduated. And I told them this, that we have to feed the internal before we could do anything with the external. In other words, you got to feed your life with the Word of God. It's not going to be of any use that you give your kids everything that they want, all the material things that they want, but you never share with them the Word of God. Because the best thing that you can do for your kids is give them salvation, because that's what they take to the next life. That's... So you cannot grow in the Lord if you are not in His Word.
Hi, Pastor Manny here. We thank you so much for tuning in. It's a true blessing for us. If you like what you heard today, please go right ahead and download the message or share it with others. But we also invite you to come to our church at Boynton Beach. God bless you all.